Thoughts on 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. An obvious negative. Well, I say it's obvious, I hope it is, it must be, surely, an obvious negative. In this question, in this matter of coping with suffering and rejoicing in suffering, the whole point about suffering, verse 15, Peter sees it necessary to put in this negative. So perhaps it can't be so obvious after all. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, and so on, a blessing. Yes. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, yes. If you suffer, now here's the negative. However, if you suffer, that's surely understood. However, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. You see, you can suffer, says Peter, for the right reason, for standing for Christ, for the gospel, for being separate from the world, and the world won't like it, for confronting the world with Christ, with the gospel. Christ is King, Christ raised. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here. They say there's another king, not Caesar, Jesus. Oh, well, Caesar won't like that. And you can suffer for that, and you will suffer for it, of course. As a Christian, as he says in verse 16. However, if you suffer as a Christian, yes, there's the other side. But you can suffer as a meddler, or having the name of a meddler, a criminal, or that kind of reputation, or a murderer, or a thief, or some, you can bring it upon yourself. Let it not be named among you, not even a hint of it. Ephesians 5, one of the translations, has it really good. There should not be a hint of any of this among you. Yeah. Ah, you may say, well, here we have the Ten Commandments. Thief, murderer, all that sort of thing, yes. Well, who said the Ten Commandments are not part of the Word of God? I never said that. Yes, of course, the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is made part of the covenant of Christ, the law of Christ. And, of course, the Ten Commandments teach us, like every other part of Scripture, but properly read through Christ, nuanced through Christ. It's the entire law of Christ, as nuanced and seen through Him. Believers are subject to the law of Christ. That's what this is about. And the fundamental law of Romans 2, verses 12 onwards, built into every man, thieving, robbery, people know it's wrong. That fundamental law is there. God has put it there. Conscience is there. But the point about the new covenant is that we are free. We are liberated from the Mosaic covenant and all other kinds of bondage. But I wrote a book because it was necessary. I think some New Covenant theologians, well, I know some New Covenant theologians have given the wrong impression here. It's not laissez-faire. And I wrote a book called Liberty, Not License. Liberty, Not License. And I believe that some have taught the liberty of Christ, the freedom of Christ, of the gospel, in such a way as to encourage even a suggestion of the contrary, to verse 15. Let this be obvious, brothers. It's written for us to understand that we must live suffering, yes, but suffering for the right reasons for Christ. I also believe there's a positive witness here. Let's put on the positive side to finish. Of course, you can declare the gospel by standing on a street corner and calling out. You can declare it by giving out tracts and so on. You can declare it by standing in a pulpit. Yes, you can do it in all sorts of ways, in a conversation. But let it be by life and by lips. May men behold our good works and glorify God that we have produced such works before them. May we witness before them by our lives. So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. Do not mistake liberty for license. Do not make license your way of life, brother or sister. Live in liberty but liberty is not license.